This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
And we're going to talk about monorails with Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville tomorrow. Brian, why are we talking about monorails here in Central Virginia?
Well, it's a good question, Coy. That really makes me want to go back and watch some old Simpsons episodes, though. We had an elected official last week, Lindsay Dorier, who's on the Board of Supervisors, represents the Scottsville District. He was on WINA last week on Government Day, and he was talking with Jane Foy about some of the transportation challenges we have. And, of course, the city and county are working together on a regional transit authority. It's not clear exactly what, you know, service strategies they're going to pursue at this point.
Or new taxes
to pay for it. But Mr. Dorier said one of the ideas he was fond of was the idea of a monorail, and that might be one transportation solution for our community.
And if I'm not mistaken, the reason that he had come to that conclusion, he paid a recent trip to Walt Disney World.
I don't know if it was a recent trip. He certainly mentioned Walt Disney as being successful with their monorail, and it certainly is. I've been on it myself and gotten between the parks. I think, one of the things you might look at is rail is certainly being talked about in this community in a number of different ways. When it comes to moving people around within our locality, within Charlottesville, it's most commonly looked at as a streetcar proposal.
Because there's really like three things. There's a streetcar, there's light rail, which is like Metro in Washington, mm-hmm. and then there's a monorail. Monorail separate from light rail, isn't it?
And when I think of monorail, like on The Simpsons, it's up in the air on, you got poles holding up the rails. And
on one rail. Yeah.
On one rail. And it's up in the air all around the community. And I haven't talked to Mr. Dorier about that, so I don't know if he misspoke and was thinking of other rail solutions. But, this community is definitely looking for better alternatives. And I think that's, what's the positive thing here? The positive thing is we are looking for things. I don't think anyone is singing the Simpsons song that Charlottesville's ready for the monorail.
Yeah.
And just fork out your dollars and we'll solve all your problems.
I want to just underscore something you said. It's so encouraging that you do have local government saying, you know what? We've done it all this. Maybe we should be thinking outside the box. We should be thinking differently. We should be thinking more creatively. The downside is oftentimes that turns out to be more expensive, because if you don't know, light rail is incredibly expensive.
Right. A lot of people in this community point out that we have rail, on all the compass points today. And, that's used by Norfolk Southern, other companies. But it's really hard to also share it with a local passenger trip.
Yeah, rail. They're not good. Because we got rail running from downtown Charlottesville all the way out to Crozet. Wouldn't it be wonderful if you had a little local thing that just ran back and forth on that?
It'd be wonderful. And the common sense thing is, well, why can't we just put a little train on there, like a monorail, that could just be, our local service? And apparently that's not very logistically feasible. We have Meredith Richards, of course, in the community talking about rail to Washington. So that's another rail conversation that's taking place. And that, you've got a longer distance. And so the possibility, the economics of making that work and sharing existing rail may be possible.
What's the status on that Charlottesville trolley on bringing back? And for folks who don't know, Charlottesville had a mule-drawn trolley beginning in the 1870s. It went electric in the 1880s. And was around until, replaced by buses, I think, in 1935. But if you look at a bunch of old pictures of Charlottesville, you'll always see the trolley lines. And now there's an effort afoot. I think former city councilor and Mayor Maurice Cox has been spearheading this effort to bring the trolley back to Charlottesville.
That's right. There's a city council in Charlottesville appointed a streetcar task force. Their work has been ongoing. It slowed down a bit last year as they lost a staff member in the city that was the liaison with that task force. Charlottesville Tomorrow is actually going to put a story up in the next week or so about this and update the community on where we are with the streetcar recommendation. But the idea there was to go from downtown, the transit center in downtown Charlottesville, and go all the way to where JPA breaks off of West Main Street near the corner, that might be the first place you start with a streetcar. And this would be a rail system that's embedded in the road, so cars would be able to also, pass over, make turns over these rails. The rails wouldn't be sticking up out of the road
right.
And a barrier. And stops could be built in the middle of the road. So trains might come, may split up at a station, but then maybe they'd come back and there'd be one rail line connecting the stations.
Well, for anybody who has spent even a weekend or a day in Boston, you have an appreciation for how really effective and fun and smart these local trolleys and this rail service can be. In Boston, they've got those trains that look like trolleys. They'll go right out into the neighborhoods. I mean, you can step off those trolleys and there's your house. It really is. And of course, this all was built a long time ago, yep. but it's a lot more expensive to retrofit it to a city.
Well, as you said, we've had it in the past. The price tag is in the neighborhood of $10 to $15 million per mile to do a streetcar like this.
Wow.
Seattle, last month, brought back their streetcar. So they also went back in time. And, you know, 8 blocks now from the Space Needle, you can get on Seattle's version of this. And it's a 1.3-mile streetcar. I think it stops at maybe half a dozen stations, 11 downtown stops.
Yeah.
And
New Orleans still has theirs. Yeah.
So
in some parts of New Orleans.
Something to be looked at. Now, the next place, you know, the city streetcar task force will certainly make recommendations in 2008, but we expect that the Regional Transit Authority will also pick this up and look at it as part of their package of different service options. They'll be looking at bus rapid transit. That's a way to move buses more efficiently up and down the 29 North corridor in particular. And, you know, rail has options up 29 North as well. But again, very expensive. It's very attractive for West Main Street, because once you have those rails on the ground and stops there, then people see that investment in transit and development opportunities start to take place.
You have
transit-oriented development where people are trying to build things around those nexus of the station.
And it may be easier than we think, the money aside, it may be easier than we think to retrofit a city trolley into Charlottesville, because the very Charlottesville grew because of a trolley. I mean, it used to go out Jefferson Park Avenue. It used to go out into Belmont. And I can remember reading old ads for land for sale in Belmont or out in the Fry Springs area. And they would say, at the end of the trolley line, you know, $200 an acre.
Yeah, good point.
Know.
And that would be harder up the 29 North corridor, as you know.
Yes, that did not evolve around a trolley.
And maybe that's where we'd need the monorail solution.
There you go.
Just go up in the air.
Monorail. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org. And Brian, big to-dos last night at City Council in Charlottesville. Dave Norris officially became the new mayor of Charlottesville for a 2-year term. Of course, he broke the news that he would be mayor on this program a few weeks ago. So in some respects, no headlines. We all sort of knew that Dave was going to be the mayor.
Yeah, if you come to Coy Barefoot Show and you break the big news, you don't get the headline. So I hope he wasn't too disappointed. We did give him credit on our blog and took some pictures and typed out his remarks. And there's also a podcast available if you want to listen to that. But as he became mayor of the city of Charlottesville, it's a 2-year term. So the city council reorganizes itself every 2 years, whereas the Board of Supervisors, which will do this tomorrow, does this on an annual basis. So the leadership's in place. Julian Talaferro is vice mayor for the next 2 years. And, you know, Dave Norris did a nice job commending Mayor Brown for his service. And Dave Brown, you know, was mayor from his first meeting until, you know, last night. So for his first 4 years on council, he was the mayor of Charlottesville.
And Brian, for folks, you know, we always have, we like to remember that we have a lot of new folks to Central Virginia. This mayor, explain how this works, because we have a city manager in Charlottesville who really runs city government and is advised and sort of, not controlled really, is not the right word, but very advised quite strongly by an elected city council. What is the Dave's power? It basically sets the agenda for meetings, right?
Sets the agenda for meetings, certainly sets the tone, I think, in the public for the council and its efforts. But no, he cannot act alone and has no power, you know, outside of when there's a meeting taking place. Though it's largely ceremonial, he's certainly at all these events that will be taking place where we try to have a city or county official
free trips to Italy.
Present. Oh, well, we won't go there. But you're right. The city and the county both have chief executive officers that run them and run local government. So in the county, it's the county executive, Bob Tucker. In the city, it's Gary O'Connell, who's the city manager. We don't elect a strong mayor like Richmond does.
Yeah,
very strong.
What do you think we are going to look at under Dave Norris's mayorialship here for the next couple of years?
Well, last night what he talked about is a theme that he's calling looking at the commons. And by that he meant, you know, that we have a lot of things our public spaces. We have a world-class arts and entertainment, great shopping, great athletic facilities, recreational things, lots of things that make this a number one place to live and that I think we would all feel in common are good, positive things. However, he was expressing interest in looking at those who are getting left out of that equation, who's currently invisible in this public discourse. And so he wanted to have as part of his 2 years, the next 2 years, to have those people have a voice and be heard in the council's activities. So that's clearly where he's headed, and I think we've seen that in Dave Norris in the past year and a half he's been on council.
So the one out of four people in Charlottesville who are working poor, one, two, three jobs, and live at or below the poverty line, certainly have an advocate in this new mayor.
And last night, environmental sustainability is going to be a big issue. Certainly was one of Mayor Brown's priorities as well. I think Dave Norris will continue that. And they talked about a host of environmental recommendations last night in their discussions. So I expect him to be a progressive voice and somebody actively seeking out better ways to do business, better ways to get new voices heard and considered by the council in their actions.
My guest is Brian Wheeler of Charlottesville Tomorrow. You can learn more online at seavilletomorrow.org. Brian joins us every Tuesday afternoon to talk about local politics and growth and development issues here in Central Virginia. And can you, before we go to a break here, can you give us a rundown of some of the public meetings that are coming up in the next week or so?
We are currently covering, my colleague Sean Tubbs is covering the City Planning Commission right now, so they are actively meeting. The County Planning Commission does not meet until next Tuesday, and tomorrow is a day meeting for the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors. As I mentioned, they'll be electing their leadership as their first order of business. Ken Boyd is expected to remain as chair of the board, and David Slutsky in the Rio District is expected to be elected vice chair of the Board of Supervisors. So because Dave Wyant lost his election, the vice chair seat is opened up. And Dave Slutsky appears ready to take that on.
Now, Ken Boyd will serve as chairman, but he'll have to be reelected chairman.
That's right.
And that term is for a whole year?
Their typical practice is to let them do it for 2 years, but every year you face election by your colleagues on the board.
Yeah, and that'll be tomorrow night.
That'll be tomorrow during the day. First thing in the morning, 9 o'clock tomorrow in the county office building. They've got a number of things on their agenda that are interesting. Water and sewer updates are coming along. They'll be talking about the city-county YMCA agreement. They're going to be talking about social service issues, transportation matters. And like city council the other night, they're jumping right back into it. They finish at the end of the day with a work session on the Regional Transit Authority. So I expect an in-depth conversation tomorrow about some of these ideas that have only been worked on really at this point by the Metropolitan Planning Organization. That's something the MPO is something that city council Board of Supervisors appoint people to. The MPO has come together with their ideas about next steps for the Regional Transit Authority. They're going to present that. They presented it last night to the City Council. Staff will present it to the Board of Supervisors tomorrow. And the newest members representing the city on the MPO were named last night, and that'll be Julian Talaferro and Satyendra Ahuja.
Interesting. We're talking with Brian Wheeler, the executive director of Charlottesville Tomorrow. He joins us on Tuesday afternoons to talk about growth and development and local politics. And I don't even know how to start this. All the latest news coming out of NJIC. The hardest thing that my big challenge here is getting used to calling NJIC something else because the government has changed the name on us. It's no longer NJIC.
Well, they are referring to it as Ravenna Station. And in some cases, they tack on military base. So you've got multiple users now who are going to be on this federal, Army facility because we're relocating jobs from Bowling Air Force Base up in Washington, D.C. to Charlottesville. So because they've got different uses going on, different agencies are involved, they're giving it a new name. We'll see if it sticks. Maybe some other name will appear.
So it's no longer the National Ground Intelligence Center that we have known it for many years.
The NGIC will be part of the facility.
Oh, so NGIC is not going away.
That's right.
That name's not going away. That's just going to become a unit at this military
That's
base.
Right. That's right.
Interesting.
Now, NGIC used to be in downtown Charlottesville, used to be in the government services building. Originally, it was a health and human services building, and I used to work there, Coy, because I was at SNL Financial for a while. And
now it's a big black
and I know
high
that,
rise.
You know, the stone in the corner of the building says, you know, by the order of Lyndon Johnson administration, and
right.
It was some health and human services building. So it was built originally for that, had bomb shelters in the basement.
Really?
And it was funny, when SNL was moving in, we were being brought in, the team from SNL was being brought in and given tours of the space so that we could figure out how we might use it. And boy, they were taking us into all sorts of rooms and having to turn on these red flashing lights whenever, you know, non-cleared people were in the area. It was a thrill.
Wow.
And but, you know, they're one of the Chuck Ward, who used to be on the county school board and works at NGIC, he told me, you know, Brian, when you're in that building, don't worry. It's safe. You'll be safe and sound.
Yeah, yeah. Nothing's going to get you in there.
But, of course, they were in downtown Charlottesville. They left because of, you know, growing pains.
Back in the 90s.
Parking was a challenge for their employees. And now they've got – they're in a space when they moved. They moved up 29 North into the county. And they had about a space designed for 700 people. It's now got about 1,200 people working there. So, once again, they are space challenged.
And a lot more on the way.
And more on the way.
Thanks to the Base Realignment and Closing Commission, which is closing down military things over there and bringing people here.
And that's the first thing really to understand, that we've got an existing NGIC facility that needs more room, needs more parking available. We've got a new use coming to Charlottesville. It's part of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and they need to build a new place for their employees, and that'll have, I believe it's up to, you know, 800 to 1,000 potential employees, or 650 to 800, I'm looking at my notes now, jobs for that site. So those would be additional jobs, but most of these, again, will be relocated. These are not necessarily new employment opportunities for people in Charlottesville, because it takes some advanced degrees, it takes, you know, military experience is preferred, and you need, you know, clearances and things like
Gotta
that.
Got to get your clearance.
So they talked about a worldwide recruiting effort to help fill these 650 to 800 jobs here in Albemarle County. But those are the two different things happening all in this space. As the federal government started looking at moving jobs down here, they had to find more land. Wendell Wood is a major property owner up 29 North in that area, and actually sold the land to the government for the initial NGIC building. He sold them another 47 acres in 2006, which is where this proposed new facility will be located. So that's part of the story. That land, of course, is tied up in what was called the NGIC land deal. And this had to do with the land that Wendell said, if I sell this to the federal government, I need some help recouping some of the money that, you know, I would have lost out on had I been able to develop this property on my own.
I'll sell it to them cheaper than it's worth,
right.
He claimed.
Right.
And we don't
because
know.
They said they had a limited, you know, earmark from the federal government.
Right. Which we've only got spend. $7 million we can spend. And he said, well, it's worth, what, like two or three times that.
So that this land is that land that he sold to them in exchange for a resolution of intent from the Albemarle County Board of Supervisors that said, we'll consider in the future moving 30 other acres that Wendell Wood, you own, into our growth area. That this development.
So that you conceptually then so that you, Wendell Wood, can then develop it and make your money back.
Get a higher return on that land, on
right.
that investment. Because right now, you run into the rural area, growth area boundary right near NGIC. So this land, the 30 acres, might be moved in the future. That's still a topic for discussion and certainly got a lot of attention last year, as we talked about on the last show when we did our top 10
yeah.
stories.
Whew.
So that's another piece of this. It gets a little more complicated, though, Coy, because Wendell has another 15 acres that was recently rezoned in August of this year. We've talked about that as well. That's where the Board of Supervisors had this discussion where they changed the proffers in the middle of the meeting. And Wendell Wood's purpose for that project was to create some office space and barracks to help NGIC. And so that's another part of this property. Now, if you're getting confused at this point, rest assured, up on our blog, seavilletomorrow.org, there's a map of all of these parcels.
That's what I'm looking at right now while you're talking.
And I think it's the first map ever done of this particular
situation. This is the first
situation.
One I've seen, and it makes total sense. All this stuff about Wendell Wood and Injik, and I've sort of followed it, but now I can look at it. Here is a color-coded map for the first time, and you can look at it and see, oh, well, this is what's going on.
And it has been confusing to everybody following this. So there's that 15-acre parcel, which will be some supplemental offices and barracks. But then one of the things that's happened in the past week, and maybe we can talk about it after the break, is that the Army did this environmental assessment. So given that they needed to expand onto this property and put the new facility there, they had to determine if they needed to do an in-depth environmental impact study. They have now released an environmental assessment that says they don't. They don't need to do an in-depth study. The environmental consequences are not that great that's going to be required. However, their study did reveal some other interesting information, and that's where we can talk about sewers, transportation, and a buffer. They want to buy some additional land from Wendell to buffer themselves from surrounding development that might come in and encroach and potentially have some terrorism issues and people listening in on, you know, eavesdropping, spying, those kinds of things. They want a protective buffer around the
site. A little Area 51 up on 29.
Yeah, we don't know exactly what will go there.
You know, it's amazing, Brian, from this map, and again, it's at seavilletomorrow.org. This map, it says the areas in red are owned by Woods Company, Next Generation LLC. Look at all the red on this map.
I totaled it up.
It is mind-blowing, the amount of the land that he owns up there.
That one LLC, and I didn't try to figure out if there are other companies that own this property, but the one LLC that I know is Wendell Woods owns about 1,000 acres in and around the NGIC facility.
Wow. Golly. He was telling me one time when he came over here, we were out in the parking lot, and he said, I just knew I needed to get this land. I mean, as a kid, he knew decades ago, I need to buy this land. This town's going to develop, and it's going to develop right up 29. Mm-hmm. And that's what capitalism is all about. He went out and borrowed money and got it going, and good for him. It's just so much land up there that he owns. Hey, we're going to talk about this more on the other side of this break.
You're listening to WINA's Charlottesville Right Now, thanks to the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. If you want to get involved with the show, feel free to comment on our blog at SeavillePodcast.com.
It's Tuesday, and that means one thing, growth and development here in Central Virginia. Brian Wheeler is the Executive Director of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at SeavilleTomorrow.org. And we're talking about the Ravana Station Military Base, which now the government is calling the home of Injik. Injik will still be Injik, but it'll be surrounded, it'll be, its home now will be called this new military base. And it's the real thing. I mean, they're going to have barracks and, you know, soldiers there, and it's just amazing that all this is going to happen here, just up on 29.
Well, I'm not sure the barracks piece of that. I'm not sure what that will look like. So that's on Wendell Woods' other 15-acre parcel. But you know, they are certainly a major employer. They're growing and a big part of our community, and certainly a lot of citizens in our community are involved with NGIC. Today, and that will only get bigger. And I, you know, one of the things I want to draw the public's attention to is that when we have a major employer like this, when we have a major development, whether it's residential or something like this, which is military in nature, there are opportunities for the public to provide input on that. And this environmental assessment came out in December, and unfortunately, the deadline is right now is tomorrow, January 9th, for the public to submit written comments about this decision that Fort Belvoir has made not to do an in-depth environmental study.
What exactly does that mean? So the government says, yes, we're going to expand. We're going to build this big military base down there in Charlottesville, and we're not going to do an environmental assessment of what this expansion will do to the surrounding water and whatever. We're not going to do the study.
That's right. Well, if they thought it was going to have a serious adverse impact on the environment, then they would have to show different things about how they're mitigating it, about how they didn't have any choice but to put a building here or there because of security reasons, because of whatever.
Yeah.
They would have to then make the case and show how they're taking care of those environmental issues or how they couldn't avoid them.
But they say that this expansion is not going to cause any problems, so
that's right.
No need to do the study.
That's right. So the public can provide feedback on that. I know Albemarle County is in a rush to collect their thoughts because they just got a copy of it early in January. So certain people, I think, had it in December, but the bulk of folks at Albemarle County didn't get it till January. So in our story on the blog, we mentioned that they've asked for an extension of the federal government. So we might get some more time as a community to give some feedback. There's certainly lots of departments within the county that are anxious to weigh in on this. One of the critical issues has to do with sewer capacity, believe it or not. And
here we are again talking about sewers. You're not going to tell me that we don't have the sewer capacity for this new military
base.
Guess
what treatment plant the National Ground Intelligence Center currently sends its sewage to?
The one that's already overused.
The one that's at capacity, the Camelot Wastewater Treatment Plant.
Oh, man.
So that's where the North Point development was supposed to send its sewage. We've talked about that, or at least where one of the developers of that property wanted to send his sewage and was told that wasn't an option. So the military has said, and what I did here in our post was pull out some of the more interesting things in this environmental assessment. One of them is that the growing workforce at the base is going to double the amount of sewage that they are discharging into our system. So the question is, when will that happen and where is it going to go? And Albemarle County Service Authority says it can't all go to Camelot. Now, Wendell Wood's 15-acre parcel has been grandfathered into this situation. So if he was to go ahead and develop that today, put up his offices, put up the barracks, that would be allowed to hook into Camelot because they're going to come up with an interim solution that'll give Camelot a little more capacity, but not much.
What do they need to fix this sewage thing at Camelot?
Or they want to abandon it.
They need to close it down.
They want to close it down. And instead, they want to build a new pumping station that'll send all the sewage into the Morris Creek facility in the city of Charlottesville, where it can be handled there.
Wait a minute. All the sewage from as far up as Airport Road is going to go down to Charlottesville?
Guess what? Where do you think all of Crozet's sewage goes?
In Crozet?
Sure.
It's pumped to Charlottesville?
Absolutely.
When you flush your potty in Crozet, it goes to Charlottesville?
You got it.
You
got to
be kidding.
You heard it here first.
That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. So we have one major facility. Now, I think there are some other smaller ones like this Camelot.
I never knew that potties did that.
But in general, that's how the potties work. That's why when you look at the sewage capacity issues, you can't just look at the given area where you get it into the pipes, but it all feeds into the Ravana Water and Sewer Authority system. So they've got yet another network of pipes. City Council got an earful about this last night, about how the water and sewer infrastructure isn't what it needs to be and how much more they're going to have to spend. But here's a situation where you've got the UVA Research Foundation, the Briarwood development, the North Point development, the growing Ravana Station military base, all competing for very limited capacity or
everybody
no capacity.
Wants to flush at the same time, and there's no place for it to go.
So it's there. The Albemarle County Service Authority is pulling together a meeting in January to talk to all those people and figure out how they can resolve this. That's one thing. The other thing that came up was the need for the base to buffer itself from its neighbors, and they expressed interest in purchasing another 50 acres north of what's called Boulders Road. Boulders Road is the main road that comes into the National
Ground
Intelligence
Center.
Right at
the light there, yeah.
And that's a light that I think was recently added when they put that in. Or no, it was the one up at GE that was recently added. But anyway, we have a growing number of stoplights on that part of 29.
Right, right.
So they want to buy some more land. 50 acres is what they're eyeing right now. And then this was another thing. The community has talked about widening Route 29. And the place we're talking about that right now is between basically the Ravana River.
Yeah, just north of Walmart,
Sam's
Club.
North of the Walmart up to Airport Road, because that's where it constricts back down to two lanes each
and where
direction.
We have all the accidents every afternoon, yeah.
So that's something that's moving forward in the community. The MPO recently set aside $2 million or authorized the spending of $2 million to make that happen, the preliminary engineering at least, not the construction of it. But the Army says, hey, guess what? When we put in all these new people here, the intersection at Boulders Road is going to drop from a level of service C to a level of service F. And level of service F, they say, means it's reached maximum capacity and a complete breakdown of service occurs.
Oh, man.
So they are recommending that the community at large, the state of Virginia, implement the plan to widen 29 even further and go to six lanes.
So not just to Airport Road,
not
but from Airport Road up to the Sheets in Rutgersville.
Well, in their report, they said go all the way to Greene County.
Yeah, which is right before the Sheets.
That's right.
Oh, man. Unbelievable.
That's not something the community has budgeted for at this point.
I don't think so.
But it's right nearby the North Point development. North Point's projected to add another 30,000 vehicles per day when it's fully built out.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a lot coming up in the northern part of the way, whether it's cars or sewer. And we're watching it all for you.
We continue to grow. Brian Wheeler, thank you so much. Of Charlottesville Tomorrow, online at seavilletomorrow.org.
Thank you.
Y'all have a great night.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit SevillePodcast.com for more.